Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bova Metzia Daf Samach Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material access by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 9 lines from the top of Daf Samach Dalet. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance in the margin where we have our Nosei topic heading, which reads, Dugmois Shainois, different examples, Shel Tashlum Meroish, where we describe a payment in advance, Kedei Lekabel Totsar Leachar Zman, in order to receive a product after a while. Pay now and get something later. As you look in our Gemara text, you'll notice the long marking. Rav Kahana speaks here for a number of lines. Omar Rav Kahana, Hava Yasivna Bishili Pirkei Derav. I arrived, literally I was sitting at the end of Rav's lecture. Vishamis Dekomar, and I heard in the course of his lecture, Kori Kori. Kori is a type of vegetation. You'll find the term Deluin as a translation of Kori. For our purposes, it's not important to focus to attempt an actual accurate botanical translation of what it is, but it's a type of vegetation that vegetable, if you will, that in the course of time it grows larger and larger and larger. So Rav Kahana says, I heard in Rav's lecture reference to Kori a number of times, V'lo yodano mai komar, and I don't know what he was referring to. After all, Rav Kahana did come late to the lecture. Boser de Kom Rav, after Rav got up, Omar Amri Lahu, my Kori Kori de Kom Rav. I asked the participants what were the numerous references to Kori that Rav made. Omru Li, and they answered me, Hochi Kom Rav. Thusly, Rav was teaching. Hai man, de yohiv zuzi legino akori. Someone who gives money to a ginoa, literally someone who tends a garden, a vegetable garden, we'll call him the farmer. And someone pays money to the farmer for kori. V'ko'azli asoro kori b'nei zarsa. And the going rate is 10 small kori vegetables per zuz. The term b'nei zarsa is a reference to something small in terms of size. It's less than an amo in size. So we're dealing with a type of vegetation that eventually grows to be quite large. You can imagine a pumpkin. And here, Rav was teaching about someone who advanced money for kori, buying, let's say, at a rate of 10 per zuz. V'omar le yavino loch b'nei garmida, and the supplier said, "Thank you for giving me the money. Now I'll supply you with large ones." Garmida is a dimension, a size of an amo. Is this arrangement allowed, where you're putting money down at a known rate, where 10 small ones go for a zuz? And the supplier will say, I will supply you with large ones. So the Rav continues, Is Nehu Shari, if he has large ones, then that's okay. Less Nehu Usser, if he only has small ones, this would be prohibited. Pshita, it's obvious that it would be prohibited. You're dealing with what certainly appears to be a problem of interest. In other words, a man is receiving money ahead of time. Delivery of the goods isn't going to be immediate. if he had the large ones in his possession. So the potential for immediate delivery exists, but not so if he doesn't have them in his possession. Why then is he agreeing to supply large ones later? Well, that's in exchange for waiting. The waiting. Waiting is the key word. The delay in the payback. In other words, I paid in advance money for, for 10. I put a zuz down for 10 koris. That at the time I paid the money would get me 10 small ones. Here, this man is agreeing to supply me with 10 large ones later on. So, do I need Rav to tell me that that is usur? Hence, the Gemara asks, Pshita, is that an obvious? The Gemara answers. Now, you'll notice that we have a Roman numeral, number one, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh, structural. What we see here are Shnei Lishonis, Binyan Tashlum, Erosh, Avur, Dilulim, two versions regarding this case of paying in advance for the Dilulim. B'shas ha-tashlum, heim tanim, at the time the money is paid, they're small. V'yakabal oysa mu'uchri oyser l'achash yigdulu oyd. And delivery will be later when they grow larger. Dahainu toisefes shebo memela. This is something, this is an increase that comes on its own, naturally. Simun zeh, this bow tie shape that you see, bo lahavlid ha-kesher v'havdeil bein shtei halishnos. We'll be able to see very clearly a connection and also a distinction between the two versions as we go on in the Gemara. So the Gemara, in asking the question, is it not obvious? So the Gemara says, Mahu detema, without Rav, I would have thought, Kevon de memela ka Ravu, since the increase in size is on its own. Natural increase in size. I would have thought, shoppy or dummy, that's okay. In other words, paying for the small ones is no different than paying for the large ones, because those very small ones become larger. Komashmlon, so Rav tells me that is prohibited. Kiman, and now the most, based on which Tanaic authority is Rav's ruling, and the Gemara answers, ki hai tano desanya, like you see in the following Brisa. Note, by the way, we have a long answer marking, answering the question of Keman, like whom is Rav's teaching. So the source says, Haholich lachloiv es izov, veligzois es rechelo, veleradois es kavarto. Someone is on his way to milk his goats, to shear his sheep, to remove honey from the kaveris, where the honey is produced. Kaveris is the we'll call the honeycomb, or the unit in which the bees produce their honey. Motzoi chavero, someone meets up with him, the amarlo, and the owner of the goats, the sheep, says, ma she'izai chovos mochur loch, whatever my goats produce, whether it's a lot or a little, is I'm willing to sell to you at such and such a rate. Now the money will be paid regardless of how much is produced, whether it's a small amount or a large amount. He says, "Mashi rechelai gozazos mochur loch." Whatever wool my sheep's yield is sold to you. Mashi kavati roide mochur loch. That which my kaveris produces honey wise is sold to you. Mutter. That type of arrangement is allowed. The one who advanced the money, of course, is going to get delivery later on. However, he might get less than what he paid for. He might get more than what he paid for. That's cool. There's hefsid, there's schar, there's a possibility of losing out. There's a possibility of profiting. So therefore, in the event that he, in fact, finds that he got more than he paid for, there's no ribis problem. There's no agar noterle. Why? Because had what he received, had what was produced was less than the amount he paid for, he would have accepted that as well. So in terms of the laws of ribis, when the chances of loss are as great as the chances of gain, then it's allowed. What the laws of ribis come to prohibit would be something that borders on guaranteed gain for your waiting for delivery. But in this case, you don't have you don't have a guaranteed gain. Avol imo marlo mashiizai chovos kach lekach mocholoch. In saying this, he is also expressing a cheap rate for the advancing of the money. So he says that which my goats will produce, and he says kach v'kach. He states an amount, and therefore the advancing of the money encourages, we'll say, this milk producer to offer a cheap rate. Continuing in the examples, Mashir Chelai Goizazes Kach Fakach Mochuloch, and he states a quantity of wool that he is willing to sell at a cheaper rate, and in exchange for the fact that you are advancing the money right now. Mashir Kavarti Roide Kach Fakach Mochuloch states a quantity of honey that he's willing to sell at a cheaper rate. Usser, this arrangement is not allowed. V'yafal gav d'memeilo korovu, even though the milk comes on its own. Kevon d'lesnu b'hi shaita usser, since the milk is not around at that time, or the wool is not around at that time. It takes a while for it to grow, and then eventually you'll shear it. Since it's not around at that time, usser, it is forbidden. And this is what Rav had said earlier. Rav made the distinction. Whether it's isnuhu, then it's allowed. Lesnuhu, it's not allowed. I hope it's clear, and I'll repeat, that the principle of ribbis is the willingness to pay more than the going rate in exchange for waiting for the delivery of either the goods or the return of the debt. We continue in the Gemara, Ika di Amri, Omar Rava, another version. This is Roman numeral number 2, another version regarding the Kori. Kevon de Memela ka Ravu Shapir Domi. Now, you see, Rava is disagreeing with Rav. You notice we have a dot underline, an arrow, a dot underline, and also to contrast this with what you see earlier. I mistakenly made reference to an arrow, but if you see the little star in the space between the Gemara and the Rashi, you can see above, if you notice the dot underlined there, you can see above how Rav ruled if less nehu usser. If he doesn't have the large kori, it would not be allowed. Rav is saying, since it's something that grows on its own, we allow the payment, well, the low rate paid at the outset, to get the large kori later on. The Gemara asks, how can you allow that? V'hot tanya kach v'kach osir. In the Tanaic source we just saw with regard to the shearings and the milk, that would not be allowed, paying in advance and getting more later on. The Gemara says, hosam lav mine ka ravu. In the case of milk production and wool, the subsequent milk doesn't grow forth from the current milk. The subsequent wool doesn't grow forth from the current wool. And to prove that, the shakli lay lahai v'osi achrino v'duchte. If you milk an animal right now, and currently after you finish milking it, there's no milk there. More milk comes later on. The subsequent increase of milk is not dependent on the milk that is there right now. And that is what makes it forbidden. Hacha, in the case of the kori, minei ka ravu. The small ones that exist right now themselves grow into larger ones. And to prove that, dechishakli le lahai, if you remove the small kori, lo asi achrina beduchtei, no large one is going to grow from that point that you removed this particular kori. And as a result, since the entire growth is from this very small kori, as it is now, the singular kora would be the singular, from this very small kora, the large one develops. So the delivery of the large one later is in effect that very one that I paid for. It's not a function of getting more that as a result in exchange for waiting for delivery. As you can see, there is a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. Omar Abaye, shori le leinish lemeimar le lechavrei. It is permissible for one to say to his friend, heloch arba zuzi achavita dechamra. Here, take 4 zuz for the barrel of wine that you're currently in possession of. I tokfa birshusach. If prior to delivery it sours, that's tokfa, it goes bad, it sours, then that's your loss. In other words, I'll get my money back. However, if it goes up in price or goes down in price, then I take delivery, and according to Abaye, that's okay. Omar le Rav Shravya l'Abaye. Rav Shravya Sita, how can you allow a situation like that? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Hai korov l'schar v'rochok l'hefsidu. We made an allusion to this not too long ago. And that is, here you have a situation where the benefit is almost guaranteed. And if you pay money and experience gain later on, and that gain is practically inevitable, that is a ribis problem. That's a problem of getting interest. And hence Rav Shravya is asking, look, this guy who's paying the money in advance for the wine, if it goes bad, he doesn't suffer any loss. But if it goes up in value, the vendor benefits. So he's getting more without subjecting himself to any loss. Omar lay. So Abaye answers. He says pay close attention. He says Keva de Mekabel lay Zula. The customer was also accepting on himself any drop in value. So that he's paying right now for a barrel of wine, 4 zuz, that very same barrel of wine, when delivery takes place, might be worth only 3 zuz. And he's willing to accept that. So since he's willing to accept drop in value, korov loze vilozehu, it's considered an equal risk factor, meaning an equal chance of increase and an equal chance of equal chance of profiting as loss, and that makes it okay. It's no longer a problem of ribis, and hence, even if it does go up in value, it's okay for him to accept it. The Mishnah. Before we go into the text, we glance at the side under our topic heading, which reads Hamalve es chavero, ein lekabo toivois me haloive. One who loans money, the lender is not to accept favors from the borrower. Once again, regarding the laws of ribis, you are loaning money, you are to get back that which you loaned, nothing more. But to get back the principal plus favors, there you got a problem of ribis. The Mishnah, Hamalva es chavero, one who loans money, lo yodur b'chatseru chinam, the lender shall not dwell in the courtyard of the borrower for free, v'lo yiskar mimenu b'bochos, nor should the lender rent from the borrower at a rate less than the going rate, Mipnei Shuribis, that would otherwise constitute interest. Before going on in the Gemara text, let us first take note of the markings. You see a diamond here and Roman numeral number 1. In the margin, we have an indication of the diamond and also the Roman numerals 1 and 2. Shnei Lishoinois Barav Yosef Bar Minyumi. Two versions of Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi. A double underline highlights the key words that distinguish the two versions. One is Hilveu, and the other is Halveni. Lend him, or lend me. Hilveu, he lent him, and the word Halveni, lend me. Hevdeo ben shnei halishonos. The point of the Gemara will be highlight the difference between these two expressions. Now the Gemara. Omar of Yosef Arminyumi, Omar Rav Nachman. Afal pish omru, even though it has been taught, hador b'chotzer chavero shalomi daitoi, eino tzorech la'alois lois char. Here we're going to translate the Gemara without getting into the details. Rashi does add important details, but first the translation. One who lives in someone else's courtyard without the owner's knowledge does not have to pay him. You might say that's a strange thing, or you can live in someone else's domain and not pay him. So the Rashi adds, based on what you learn in the Gemara and Bava Kamma, you're talking about a piece of property that is not ordinarily rented out to begin with, and the person who is dwelling there is someone that would ordinarily have to rent otherwise. But we say you don't have to pay because it's classified as zenene vezelo choser. This one benefits. He now doesn't have to rent somewhere else. And the owner doesn't lose out because he wasn't going to rent it out anyway. That's a general principle. However, hilveu v'dor b'chatzero, if the individual loaned money to the owner of the chotzer, to the owner of the courtyard, and then that lender decides to park himself in the borrower's chotzer, tzorech lahalois lo schar, then you have to pay. My komash molon, what is Rav Yosef teaching me that I wouldn't have known from the Mishnah? Tanino, we learned in the Mishnah, hamalve es chavero lo yodur b'chatzero chinom, v'lo yiskor mimenu b'fochois, mipnei shuribis, one who loans money shall not dwell in the borrower's courtyard for free. So you see that very point in the Mishnah. What do I need Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi for? The Gemara answers, Imi Masnisin, had I had just the Mishnah, Hava Mina, Hani Mila, I would have thought that the case of the Mishnah, where we insist on the, where prohibit the lender from dwelling in the Chotzer for free, the Chotzer de Kaimo La Agro, Vagavro David Lamegar, in a situation where it's a courtyard that is ordinarily rented out, where the borrower ordinarily has an income from that chotzer. So in a case like that, we tell the lender, you can't dwell in that chotzer for free. This is that dwelling for free would be considered an increase. You're saving all that money that other people would have had to pay. And I would have thought that we're talking about a gavra dovid lemegar, means that this is a lender. This lender would otherwise have had to rent somewhere else, but as a result of extending the loan, he's taking advantage of this borrower's property and parking himself there. Avol. Without Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, I would have thought Chotzer de lo kaima la agro v'gavro de lo avid lemegar eimo lo. If you're dealing with a courtyard that ordinarily is not rented out anyway, and the lender is someone that doesn't need to rent this specific place. He has other places to dwell anyway without renting. So I would have thought that it's okay. Komash Molon, what Rav Yosef Bar Menumi reveals to us, that even under those circumstances, where it's a piece of property that's not ordinarily rented out, so that the borrower isn't losing out by this guy living there, by this lender living there, and the lender himself isn't really benefiting because he's got another place to live. So I would have thought it's okay. Komash Malon, as we just pointed out, that even that is prohibited because it doesn't look good. It looks like ribis. Iko diamri. Omar Rav Yosef bar Menumi Omar Rav Nachman. Afal pi sheomru hador b'chotzer chavero shelo midaito eino tzorach lalos loschar. This is the same as we saw above, that even though in general one who dwells in someone else's property without his knowledge, he doesn't have to pay for it. Halveni vidor b'chatzeri tzorach lahalos loschar. If the borrower says explicitly, loan me money, and in exchange for that, of course I'll pay back the principal, but dwell in my property, if that's the arrangement, then tzorach lahalos loschar, then the lender must pay rent. So we have two versions where, in general, if it was not a lender-borrower relationship, you could dwell in the chotzer for free. You don't have to pay. But because of a loan relationship, you do have to pay. Now we have two versions. Mand yomar hilveu. According to the first version, where a loan had been extended, there weren't any specific terms spelled out at the outset, namely, in exchange for the loan, you can dwell in the chotzer. So there were no specific terms stated at the outset. This, in ribis terminology, we say lo kutsatz meroish. It wasn't fixed at the outset, and even though the we'll call it the ribis factor, i.e. the dwelling factor, was not spelled out at the beginning, it nevertheless in version number one is prohibited. So then kol shekein halveni, then all the more so in version two, where the borrower stated at the outset the conditions that in exchange for your loaning me the money, I offer you to dwell in my property. That certainly would be usur if he's going to dwell there for nothing, for free. Uman domer halveni, if you're going to say that the arrangement enabling the lender to dwell there is prohibited, according to version number two, where the dwelling was part of the term spelled out at the beginning, that is a severe problem. Aval hilveu lo. But if a loan took place independent of the dwelling factor, then the subsequent dwelling would not present a problem. If someone happened to loan money to a borrower, and that borrower just happened to have some property, and the lender decided to park himself there, he wouldn't have to pay, even though he is a lender of money. My taima, why would we be lenient in that case? Kevon de meikora lava daita de hachi osfe, since at the outset the loan was not extended with this in mind, less lon ba. So we are not troubled by it. It doesn't bother us, and we would not insist on the lender paying rent. You notice we have a long marking. This long marking will continue down a number of lines on Samach Hei Omen Aleph. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, which reads, Minhagai Shel Rav Yosef. The Gemara will describe the practice of Rav Yosef Litvois, who avodim shel elu shoyuchal yovim loichoivois. He would take possession, temporary possession, literally grab hold of the slaves, of those that owed him money. V'hoya oise bohen avoida, and he would use them for work. He would we'll say enslave the slaves of those who happen to owe Rav Yosef money. Now, at the outset of this discussion, just by reading our introduction, sounds a little odd. Here, Rav Yosef lends money. He's going to get the principal in return. And in addition, he's going to get the benefit of someone's slaves. How could Rav Yosef even explain such behavior? So now, let's see the Gemara. Rav Yosef bar Chamo, tokif, he grabbed hold of Avdi de Inshi, the slaves of people, the Masik behu Zuzi, the Ovid behu Avidita. People, the slaves of people, the masikbu that he, Rav Yosef, was collecting from them debts, people that owed him money. He would grab their slaves and use them for his Rav Yosef's own purposes. And now the triangle marking that you see assumes an alternating position as you go down. On the side of them under the Mivneh, the structural note, we indicate the triangle is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara, with the point facing up. They represent Kushyos Shel Rava, Rava's questions. Rava here is the son of Rav Yosef. Rava will present questions to his father, and the inverted triangle, Tshuvosof Shel Rav Yosef, Bar Chamo, Rav Yosef's responses. Now, it's worth noting, in terms of the direction these triangles take, it's worth noting the eventual give and take. We start with Rava now. Omar le Rava Bray, his son, meaning Rav Yosef's son, Rava asks, "My time Ovid Morhochi, why do you do thusly?" In other words, as we explain, the ribbis question seems to be an obvious problem here. Omale, so his father, namely Rav Yosef, answers, Ano k'Rav Nachman Sviroli, I hold like Rav Nachman. Yoma Rav Nachman, Avda Nahim Kresei Lo Shavi. A slave isn't even worth the bread that he eats. In other words, if anything, I, as a lender of money, am doing the owner, the borrower, a favor. I'm feeding his slaves that he otherwise would have had to do, had to support his slaves, and those slaves don't even produce an income worth their sustenance. Omar lay. So Rava says back, Amor diomar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman did make such a comment that a slave isn't worth the bread he eats. Kagon Dari, that's a name. Avdei, Rav Nachman happened to have a slave. His name was Dari. The Market Bekuvi, his preoccupation was one of a, we'll call a bar dancer. Market is to dance, Bekuvi, in places that people would sit to drink wine, in a saloon, a bar. He was a bar dancer. So that kind of slave really isn't, he doesn't do much for the owner, and hence he's not worth even the food that he eats. However, Avdi Achrini, Mi Omar, regarding other productive slaves, did Rav Nachman ever say such a thing? Omar Lei, so Rav Yosef answers, Ano ki hod Rav Daniel bar Rav Katino Marav Svira Li. I hold like Rav Daniel. The Omar, Hatekef Avdi Shechaver Vyosabai Malacha, Potter. A person who grabbed someone else's slave and used him for work purposes is exempt. He's not guilty of theft. He doesn't have to pay for that. Why? We continue at the top of Daf Samachay. De nicha le de lo nisteri avdei. It's acceptable to the owner himself that his slave should not learn the ways of laziness. In other words, the owner of the slave, seeing that someone else grabbed the slave to use him for work production, let's just assume a scenario where the slave wasn't currently working for the owner. He was sitting on a bench. Someone else comes and grabs his slave and uses him. The owner is actually happy with that, so that his slave is in constant work, in constant motion, thereby not learning the ways of laziness. So that, so I, as the lender of money, am actually doing a favor to the borrower, i.e., owner of the slave. Omar lei, so Rava says back, Hani mili hechodelo masik beizuzi. This idea of using someone else's slaves is okay, and the owner himself is happy with that. That's where there's no debt issue. That's where the owner of the slave is not someone that owes money to the one grabbing him. Mor keva de masik behuzuzi, you, father, since you are collecting from the owner of these slaves, you are collecting from them money, money that you had loaned them. Merci, Karibis. It looks like Ribis. The Omar of Yosef bar Menumi, Omar of Nachman. And here we quote from the Gemara we saw earlier. Even though in general, if you dwell in someone else's property without his knowledge, you don't have to pay for it. If the arrangement is one of lender-borrower, then the lender who does dwell in the borrower's property does have to pay because of the otherwise ribis appearance. Aren't you worried about that? Omar le Hadribi. So the father answers, I acknowledge what you said. Hadri means I reverse myself. I won't continue to grab slaves of people that in fact owe me money. As we go on into Gemara, we see a new marking. It's featured on the side under our Mivneh, our structural note. These are Memros, Shebohem, Cholkin, Abaye, Verova. We have topics or statements or issues concerning which a Machlokas, Abaye, and Rava appear. Their names, Abaye and Rava, are highlighted with the house marking. Binyan Hachzoras, Ribis, Shenikve, Me'al Haschum Shesikmu Olav. You'll see the collection of ribis. Now, that might sound a little strange. You're not allowed to collect ribis. Well, let's just say that it did happen. Someone extended a loan with interest, and now the lender was collecting the interest, but he collected an amount beyond the agreed upon interest. What do we have to say about that? So now the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Haiman de Masik Zuzi de Revisa Bechavre. Someone who's coming to collect interest from the borrower. The Koazli Fiti Arbo Grivi Bezuza Beshuka. And the going market rate on wheat is 4 grivi per zuz. Beshuka means that in the market. That's the going market rate. Let us assume, for illustration purposes, that this malve, this lender, was going to collect a zuz as ribis. He loaned a certain amount of money, and in addition to the principal being paid back, the arrangement was, you can also pay me an extra zuz. And instead of a zuz, which is a form of a denomination of currency, the value of a zuz was going to be paid in terms of wheat. So you have a borrower that was going to pay in wheat. The wheat at the time, as we said, 4 grivi, it's a measure, 4 sa'a per zuz was the going rate. And this borrower ends up, and now we go on in the Gemara, you see, V'yohiv le'ihu chamisha. The borrower pays 5 sa'a. The going rate for one zuz was 4 sa'a. He adds one. The basic ribis that they had agreed upon would be payment of 4 sa'a, because 4 sa'a equals a zuz, and the zuz was the interest to be paid. And the borrower paid 5 sa'a. Now, we had learned a while back, Machlokas, we saw Reb Yochanan and Reb Lozer, whether Ribis Ktsutzas Yotze B'dayonim. According to Reb Lozer, that the court intervenes to return interest that was collected. What do we do here? Kimafkinon minei, going on in the Gemara, Abai says that when we take away from him, in accordance with Reb Lozer, arbo mafkino minei, we collect from the malve four se'ah, or four grievi of fitim. What about the fifth one? Idach, alzoli hu dekomoizil gabei. That fifth measure of wheat that the borrower threw in was literally was giving him a good deal. He threw it in on the top, so to speak. He viewed his own grains as being cheaper than the market value. But as far as the basic interest is concerned, four saw or four grievi represent the ribis. Rava disagrees. Chamisha mafkino minei, we collect from the malve, from the lender, all five that he had taken from the borrower. De meikora, because at the outset, betoras ribisa asoy liyod, it came to him as part of a ribis payment. The Gemara continues. V'omar Abaye, a very similar situation. Haiman de masik arbo azuzi de ribisa b'chavre, a lender is coming to collect four zuz as the interest. V'yoyivle glimo b'gavayu, and the borrower, when he paid the four zuz of interest, he also threw in an article of clothing. Glimo is an article of clothing. Take this too. B'gavayu means literally in them, in the four zuz, or together with the four zuz. Take this garment as well. Kimafkino minei, when we extract from the lender the interest that he collected, arbo mafkino minei, we collect from him the four zuz that he collected, that the lender had collected as interest, glimo lo mafkino minei, but we do not extract from him the article of clothing as well. Rava Omar, and Rava, as we saw before, is consistent. He says, glimo mafkino minei, we will collect the garment as well from the lender who collected it. My taima, why? Ki hechi delo lemru, so as to avoid the following situation. So that delo lemru, that the public shouldn't say, glimo de mechsi vekoi, glimo de revisahu. The glimo that he's mechsi vekoi means that he's wearing, that's the ribis glimo. So to save the lender from public shame, and certainly to teach the public that ribis is prohibited, we collect it, we take it away from the lender, along with the four zuz. Omar Rava, Haiman de Masik Tresar Zuzi de Ribisa Bechavre. Someone who is collecting 12 zuz of ribis, in addition to the principal loan that he will collect, he will collect also 12 zuz of ribis. Once again, we're not saying that one is allowed to collect ribis. Obviously, it's prohibited, but he did. The ogar le chotzer, the love, the borrower happened to be the owner of property, and he rented to the lender a chotzer, the miskura basora, the ogre nihale betresar. The borrower said, you know, I owe you a ribis debt of 12 zuz. Instead of the cash, rent my chotzer. Now, the chotzer ordinarily is rented at a lower rate, at 10 zuz. And they agreed. In other words, the lender agreed to occupy that chotzer, in other words, to rent that chotzer, in lieu of the receipt of the 12 zuz of ribis. As we said, ribis is prohibited. It is prohibited to collect ribis. In this case, he didn't collect cash, but in lieu of the cash, he occupied in a rental format the property of the borrower. We, however, extract from this lender, kimafkinon mine, when we take away from the lender, we tell him, you collected ribis, tresar mafkinon mine. We say, you've got to pay cash of 12 zuz to the borrower. In other words, you're dwelling in the chutzner, like we saw in the Mishnah. You're not allowed to dwell in his domain for free. If you're going to dwell in the borrower's domain, you've got to pay. How much is this lender now going to have to pay? He's going to have to pay 12. Omar le ravacho mi difti le ravina. Why is he charging him 12, though? Let the malva say, ki agra hachi, when I was willing to accept the dwelling, the rental, in lieu of the ribis, and accept it at an expensive rate, dahave komishtarshili, it was part of my profiting. Mishtarshi has to do with my profiting, experiencing increase. It was in addition to the principal loan that I was collecting. I got the principal. The dwelling there was part of my, we'll say, my profit in ribis terms. So I was willing to, compromise on how much I could have profited. Instead of profiting 12 in cash, so I, in lieu of the 12 in cash, I dwelt there in a chutzner worth 10. So I was willing to compensate because I was willing to, take a little loss on the profit. However, now that you're making me pay, hashtadolo mishtar shili, now that I'm not having any profit, you're taking away from me the interest that I collected. Well, kida agri kule almo hu da agarna, then the rental that I will pay should be 10, like everyone else would have had to pay. So why is it that we're able to extract from him 12? Mishum di omar le, because the love can say, the borrower can say, Sabris Fikablis, you accepted the rental at 12. You accepted it at 12, so pay 12. Since that was the agreed upon rental rate, you are expected to pay that. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.